Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. It is Off the Ball on a Thursday night. Football show coming up from 9. Kev will be back in with us then. And after 8 o'clock, we're going to be returning to the topic of painkillers in sport. Michael Meehan and Enda McGinley will talk to us about the GEA. But John Giles is on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
Were painkillers much of an issue back when you were playing?
Not so much painkillers. Well, not tablets. Sometimes you got injections to kill the pain, Nathan, before the match.
Yeah.
Which didn't do anybody any good, to be quite honest, you know.
Yeah, was that just left up to the doctor, or how did
more
that process?
Less, yeah. More or less,
you just did what you were told.
Yeah, it was quite dangerous, actually, you know, because they were painkillers, you see, and obviously painkillers kill the pain, but it doesn't do the injury any good.
No.
You know, you don't know. I mean, injuries, usually get pain to warn you that there's something wrong. Well, if you get a painkiller, you know, you don't feel it until afterwards, but you're doing still doing the damage.
And would you have felt that on the occasions where you had to take an injection, that later on in the day or later on in the week, you'd feel the effects of the injury even more?
Oh, yeah, you'd feel it as soon as the injection wore off.
Mm.
Now, I didn't have any, and I didn't believe in it.
Okay.
But we had a lad called Mick Jones played centre forward for us at Leeds, and for the last 10 matches, 12 matches, he was getting injections for a bad knee. And he never played again after
right.
the season.
Wow.
It was that serious. But it can be very, very serious. And managers are usually desperate, Nathan, you know. Oh, look, you'll be okay. You'll you know, it's the next match is always the most important one, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. You're saying that you didn't believe in it. You didn't want it. If you were injured, you're injured. And I think it was rare enough in your career you were out injured. But those few times, was there not pressure from above to have the injection to go and put yourself out in the pitch?
Well, the pressure would come from the manager. When I was playing with Don Reeve, I had a hamstring injury, which was almost better, and it was on the Friday. We're playing Man U away, and he wanted me to play, and I said I can't play. He said, "Well, I just want you to sit in the middle of the field." I said, "I want to play." I said, "But if I go out with this injury, I said I'm not going to be any good, you know." And I said, "If I leave it this week, I'll definitely be fit for next week." Now, he wasn't very pleased about it, Don, but they went on and drew the match at Old Trafford, and the following week I was okay. But it's the next match, Nathan, you know, with managers. Oh, I want you to play, I want you to, you know, you can get a painkiller. I never believed in the painkillers anyway, and I knew I couldn't do justice. I said to him, look, there's no point in me playing. I won't be any good because I won't be free to do what I wanted. But there was always pressure. Always pressure, in the old days particularly, where the medical team didn't come into it as much as they do today. It would be down to the manager. I've known a good few players who played with injuries, with injections and that, Nathan, and they finished their career early. In Mick Jones's case, he finished at the end of that season.
Yeah, I can't imagine there was too much information coming from the medical staff as to
no.
what exactly they were injecting you with.
Well, you wouldn't know, Nathan, but as far as the medical staff was concerned, now in my time in football, you had the doctor, and it was only the doctor on a part-time basis.
Mm.
You know, so there wasn't, I know now, say, with the international team, you've got Dr. Alan Byrne, who's a terrific terrific doctor, and his team looking after. And I know there are teams now in all the football clubs, there's a team, a medical staff, which is absolutely brilliant. But in the old days, you know, the physio, if you had a physio. Actually, when I first went to Manchester United, Busby Babes, we had a physio called Ted Dalton on a part-time basis, Nathan.
Wow.
And if you wanted to see him in the afternoon, you had to go into his place in town to get injury. That's how bad it was in the old days, you know?
Yeah. I'd imagine, from your point of view, for, say, that game you're talking about against Manchester United, a huge game for you on a personal level as well, that you'd probably, had you become used to playing through niggles, that it was only something pretty serious that would keep you out of a match?
Oh, yeah. Say you got a kick on your shin or a kick here, a kick there, no problem, because that was only a bruise and that. But if you had a hamstring, see, a hamstring could go on you. You know, it wasn't so much the pain as playing, but you knew if you sprinted, there was a good chance, and it would restrict you in your play because you think, oh, I better not go too much because this thing will go again. But kicks and knocks and things, I never wore shin pads when I played.
Really?
I didn't believe it.
Ever?
No, never, never. You didn't have to wear them in those days, Nathan. And I've still got marks on my shins from that. But that, funny enough, a kick in that and a cut in that never bothered you. It was the pulled muscles or an ankle that's going to go on you. You're doing your ligaments and that. That was the real danger. The real danger for me of not being able to play, because I just didn't feel comfortable playing, because if you had to go for a sprint and you had a bit of a hamstring problem, you weren't able to do it properly. So you couldn't play properly. But I'm only explaining the desperation of managers. Like Don Reeve was a great manager, and he wasn't happy when I said, no, I'm not playing tomorrow. He just didn't like it, you know? But the following week, you see, I didn't say to him, I could have reminded him the following week. I said, look, I'm fit to play now. If I played last week, I could have been out for another 4 or 5 weeks. But it was always the next match. The next match is the most important match in the world.
Yeah, and that's what continues to this day. And I guess still there's not a huge amount of players are strong enough to actually stand up to the manager and take the stance and say, no, I'm not going out there. It seems as though the vast majority of players will just do it because they don't want to lose their place.
Well, for whatever reason, but I think what's happened now, there's huge medical staffs in the club, Nathan, and I think they make the decisions. You know, the manager doesn't, I don't think, goes one-on-one on the player and say, look, I want you to play tomorrow. If the medical staff says he's not fit to play and he shouldn't play, then that's it. I think that's the rules now. I know that's the rules in the international our international team, because the medical staff treat the player and then they report to the manager to say, in my opinion, this lad is not fit to train today, or he's definitely not fit to play. So it's taken out of the hands of the managers. I'd say that happens in all the clubs now, Nathan.
And they're not wearing shin guards. Was that a bit of a badge of honour that you
no,
didn't wear them?
I just comfortable in them, right, Nathan. And I never felt, actually, funny enough, you know, shin pads don't stop serious injuries, Nathan.
No, they're...
They stop cuts and little bruises and that. And I never bothered about that. You know, I've still got scars on my shins from that. I'm not being a big hero. But I'd rather do that than wear the shoe. I just didn't feel comfortable in it. I always felt, psychologically, the ball comes to me, it's going to hit me studs.
Yeah.
It was a bit silly as well. But I just felt better without the shin pads.
Yeah. I presume then that was pretty common amongst all the rest of that team.
Yeah. A lot of players didn't wear shin pads.
Yeah. We'll get on to matters more timely, and Manchester United and Arsenal last night. An exciting game, a 2-2 draw, and I don't know if it was a classic in terms of quality, but what were your overall takeaways from it?
Well, I was a little bit disappointed with the quality in it, Nathan. I thought Arsenal were shaded as the better team. Despite the fact that, you know, Mourinho was on afterwards. He made a peculiar statement I read in the paper this morning. He said, we need a good performance like this without the mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he was trying to imply as well that Arsenal were playing, you know, a defensive game and giving fouls away. And he said that last week against Southampton as well, which wasn't true. I don't think Arsenal went for the game the same as Manchester United did. I thought Arsenal shaded it on the night. I'd say it just about deserved to win it, but not much in it. But it didn't live up to expectations, Nathan, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was wondering on the reasons it didn't, and even looking at a lot of the games last night, there was a lot of goals, there was excitement, but maybe the quality was lacking. And most of these teams, well, they all played at the weekend, they'll all play again next weekend. We're entering that period where we have probably 8 games, if not more, for teams in the space of a month. And whether actually there is too much football at this time of the year. I know you played games, I think at a time, some stage you played consecutive days.
Three games in succession. Three games over the Easter period and the Christmas period. So that could be Friday, Saturday, Monday. We didn't play on Sunday. Or it could be Saturday, Monday and Tuesday. Whatever. There was 3 days in three games in 4 days, Nathan.
And do you feel that that's affecting the quality? You look at Arsenal having to play that game at Old Trafford last night, just 3 days after the win over Spurs, after playing a North London derby, that affected the way they went into last night's game?
Well, I don't know what the game is like now, Nathan, but in my day, it was you did that anyway. But I'm only talking about the 3 matches in 4 days. Sometimes, believe it or not, I used to feel better after on the third match than in the first match. It's also a state of mind. I think players should be able to play. you know, the games like Arsenal played. When did you play on Saturday, was it?
Played Sunday.
Sunday. Mm. And they're playing again on Wednesday. Not right?
Yeah, yeah.
No big deal, Nathan. No deal. That's, you've got 4 days to recover from the match. And all you've got to do is don't do so much training. Just rest up, because you've got your match fitness by this time. I think, you know, there's too much made of it by the managers, where they're saying, oh, well, we've played, you know, 2 matches in 4 days. If you put that in the players' heads, it affects them, you know, because, oh, well, we're a bit tired. When we played in Europe with Revy on the Saturday, the first thing in the team talk is say, I don't want to hear tired. I just don't want to hear it. You got to get out and do it. And if you're tired, you push yourself more. Now, obviously, you're playing a lot of matches and it does catch up with you, Nathan. But I think from Sunday to Wednesday, or Saturday to Wednesday, shouldn't be any big deal. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think if you tell the players nowadays, listen, we can't do these matches. Now, like I hear the manager sometimes, three or 4 weeks into the season, and they're saying, we've already played 5 matches. And, you know, I mean, I know you need big squads because teams are involved now in Europe and what was the old League Cup and the FA Cup. You do need a big squad. But I think it's overdone, to be quite honest. And I think last night, from the Arsenal-Manchester United point of view, I don't think the game didn't reach the heights that we wanted because players were tired. In fact, Manchester United made 6 changes, I think. And then Mourinho was complaining afterwards about having to play players. But I looked at his bench tonight, and he had Valencia, McTominay, Mata, Fellaini, Pogba, and Lukaku on the bench.
Yeah, a lot of quality.
But I think, generally speaking, I think there is too much made. Now, obviously, if you're playing, you know, 5 matches in 10 days, if it gets to that stage, then that it does tell on players. There's no doubt. But I think from Saturday or Sunday to Wednesday, shouldn't be any big deal.
Again, a lot of the talk around Manchester United surrounds the relationship between Paul Pogba and Jose Mourinho, and the stories that came out over the last few days that ahead of the match against Southampton, Mourinho labelled Pogba a virus that was infecting the dressing room.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple of stories in this. Firstly is the amount of leaks that are coming out of Manchester United, whereby everything seems to become public knowledge pretty quickly. And also, what Mourinho could gain from trying to isolate and trying to make Pogba stand out like that. Have you any understanding of what Mourinho might be trying to do with Paul Pogba right now?
Haven't a clue, Nathan. I haven't a clue. But if you tell somebody in the dressing room in front of all the players that he's a virus and relate to the rest of the players, that man should never play for the club again. Right?
Yeah.
If it's that serious, and I believe it to be true because it wasn't denied, that he said he was a virus in the dressing room. Now, that's very, very serious stuff, Nathan. And the way he played against Southampton last week, it did look like a virus. But you don't. Now, next thing, he's on the bench last night, and he gets on the pitch. So if you tell the player in front of everybody else that he's a virus to everybody, then he should be finished. He should never play for the club again. So you don't know what's going on in Old Trafford. There's a game going on, certainly between Pogba and Mourinho. And I don't think Mourinho is winning that particular battle, and I don't think he will win that battle. But certainly, if he said what he said to him last Saturday or Sunday, then he should never, ever play for the club again.
We've probably spoken more about Pogba than any other player over the last couple of years. But when you hear about comments like that from Mourinho, do you have any sympathy with the player? Does it make it more understandable, the type of performance he put in against Southampton?
I don't think there's ever any excuse for putting in the performance like he did against Southampton. And I don't think he kicked the ball last night. I think if you're obliged to do the best you can once you go out on the field, Nathan. Mm. Now, the manager has the responsibility of creating the team spirit and keeping the team spirit, and Mourinho certainly hasn't done that. In fact, Mourinho, I think, ruined himself with Pogba last year when he subbed him against Spurs and humiliated him that particular day, and a few days later left him out of the team. So he was trying the hard tactics on him. That didn't work, because, as we know, Pogba went to the World Cup and was considered to have a very, very successful World Cup. So I think there's a breakdown there that will not be fixed.
Yeah. It's 3 draws in a row for United, 8 points off the top four. They're 18 points off Manchester City already. Do you see any way back for Mourinho and United, or do you just feel that this is going to run for this season and then it'll sort of come to its natural end and they'll part ways?
I think they could part ways before the end of the season, Nathan.
Right.
I can't see it. I can't see it being fixed. I just can't see it. I think he's fallen out with too many players, apart from Pogba. I mean, he fell out with Smalling, Luke Shaw, Rashford.
Yeah.
No, like there's about seven or eight players he's fallen out. And then he keeps on about, well, we need defenders. You know, we've got to get them in. We're not good enough. Well, how do the players feel about that? Who are the defenders? And also, players that he's played like 70 or 80 million between two defenders, three defenders. And he's saying we need defenders at the back. And he's saying it very, very publicly. Actually, he's complaining about the board not giving them the money to buy new defenders. And these guys are there. So if you can put yourself in that position, Nathan, you're a centre-half, so, you know, or a defender, and the manager's saying, well, what we need is defenders. You know, that goes through a club, and it doesn't help for good team spirit or morale. And I think the morale at Old Trafford in the dressing room seems to be very, very low.
Yeah, we will talk a lot more about that, I'm sure, over the coming weeks. 53106 is the text number. Stick with us, John. We're going to take a quick break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. John Giles is still on the line. A text in, John, from TC in Dublin. John actually won an FA Cup in 1972 on the Saturday and then disgracefully had to play a match to win the double on the Monday. Different times. That was Wolves, was it?
It was Wolves away, Nathan. Actually, what we did in the build-up to that, we played the previous Saturday, we played the previous Monday, we played in the Cup Final on Saturday, and then we had to play again on the Monday. So we were knacked, to be honest.
And why was there such a backlog?
Yeah. Well, and we had to win all the matches because we were going for the league. You know, we were going for the league and in the double.
Yeah.
So we needed to draw. A draw at Wolves on the Monday, and Wolves had a few weeks. I'm not making excuses for us, but Wolves had a few weeks rest at that particular time. So there was it was very, very difficult.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Particularly for such a once in a lifetime opportunity to win a double like that, to have it put down to, I guess, as we've spoken about many times, FA bureaucracy back in those days.
We couldn't celebrate the cup, Nathan. Mm. Because as soon as the match was finished, you were in the coach and off to Wolverhampton that night for the match on the Monday. And, of course, coming back from Wolverhampton, it was like going to a funeral, having won the cup, you know, because we lost it out. And we got back to Leeds and no celebration at all. We couldn't celebrate the cup because we had a match on the Monday.
Yeah.
And when we lost to Wolves, there was no celebration. And
nobody felt like partying.
The hotel lined up for us to go in and have a few drinks and that, you know.
Yeah.
And there was only two. I think it was Peter Lawler and myself. Peter had a great attitude, you know. He said, look, he says, John, we've had a great season. I said, we've had a bad night, we've had a great season. He said, I'm going in for a drink. And he said,
are you coming
in? And I joined him. There was only two of us in the place, in the Queen's Hotel. But you get over these things, Nathan, you know.
Yeah. We might talk, while we have a little bit of time, about the big game of the weekend, Chelsea against Manchester City. Still unbeaten, relentless, whereas Chelsea have started to stutter, lost two of their last three games in the league. It feels, in a way, almost that this is Liverpool's biggest game of the weekend as well, that they need City to slow down, to drop some points, to show that there is a weakness, for Chelsea to get some sort of a result, because it's hard to know how long Liverpool can keep up this sort of pressure as well. Do you see enough in Chelsea at home that they can actually take something off City?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Premiership is a very tough league, and anything can happen at any given time, Nathan. I mean, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world if Chelsea went on to beat Manchester City, because that's the way it is. I mean, Chelsea, don't forget, Chelsea went to Wolverhampton last night and were beaten there.
Mm.
You know, like the Premier League is a very, very tough league. And Manchester City make it look easy at times. And indeed, Liverpool have, well, up to a point. I mean, their matches are much closer than Manchester City's at this particular time. But there's always a chance that you can get a day where everything goes the opposite, like in Chelsea's case, could go their way to do it. It's week in, week out, night. You know, Manchester City have been hugely successful and consistent all last season, and they're doing it again this season. The difference now is that Liverpool are definitely keeping very, very close to them. Now, they got a big break last week, Liverpool, as we saw, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know, in the last match they played against Everton. But, you know, they're not playing as well this year, Liverpool, certainly going forward, and not losing as many goals as they did in previous seasons. But they're staying with Manchester City. And, you know, City are very, very good. They're making it look easy, but every game is different, Nathan. I think they've got a big game on the weekend. And Chelsea are definitely capable of beating them. They have to do it, but they're capable of doing it.
The draw was made last weekend for Euro 2020, John, just before we wrap up. So Ireland in with Switzerland, Denmark yet again, Georgia and Gibraltar. It's Gibraltar away, Georgia home the first couple of matches.
Yeah.
Is that a group we should expect to qualify from?
Well, it's a group we have a good chance of qualifying, Nathan. Again, it's on paper. Are we capable of beating? I think if we're at our best and we get all our players fit again, I think we're capable of doing it. And that's all you can do. Go out. Now it's all talk. It's the action then comes later on. But I think the draw on paper has been very, very favourable to us, Nathan.
All right, John. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
John Giles with us every Thursday at 7:30. 53106 is the text number. More football to come from 9 o'clock on the football show. Kev will be with us once again to look back on the last couple of days and also ahead to the weekend's matches. But up next, after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Michael Meehan and Enda McGinley. And we're also going to hear from some of the coverage we've had today about the use of painkillers in sport.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.